For today's cover story on President Donald Trump's push for more oil production, it would have been natural to head to North Dakota, which sits atop the vast Bakken oil field, or to the Permian Basin that spans Texas and New Mexico. But reporting in California, as Simon Motlake did, allowed us to tell a different story: how the state's efforts to mitigate climate change are colliding with the federal drive for more oil drilling, and what changes we can expect as a result. Governor Gavin Newsom, a climate hawk who had called for the state to move beyond oil, recently signed a bill to allow more oil and gas drilling in Kern County. He did a 180-degree turn in short order, says Dave Knorr, a mayor in the county. It's Thursday, November 13th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. House Democrats released emails from convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, saying President Donald Trump knew at the time about the girls Mr. Epstein was accused of victimizing. The White House called the emails a fake narrative. Mr. Trump has vehemently and consistently denied knowing about Mr. Epstein's sex trafficking. French-Algerian writer Boualem Sansal is set to be released from prison. Algeria agreed to a German proposal to pardon Mr. Sansal to allow him to receive medical care in Germany. Mr. Sansal was arrested in November 2024 on charges of undermining national unity following comments he made to French media about the disputed territory of Western Sahara. His arrest is part of a deepening diplomatic rift between France and Algeria. Also, hunters have killed a record number of black bears this year in South Carolina as restrictions have eased. Animal rights advocates have fought new rules expanding the use of bait and dogs, arguing they encourage a cruel trophy hunt of the state's largest mammal. State game managers see the large cull as a sign the efforts to preserve hunting culture, while keeping the bear population in check, are working. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. With a U.S. government shutdown drawing to a close, the next steps come into view. Turning the federal government back on after 6 weeks may not be easy or instantaneous. The shutdown was felt across the country, from airport delays to missed paychecks from America's largest employer. And politically, Washington may find itself more divided than before the shutdown. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. Russia has been conspicuously bringing new types of missiles, torpedoes, and submarines into service in recent weeks. Russian experts say that the fanfare is all about President Donald Trump's Golden Dome missile defense proposal. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Heavily outgunned, Ukraine has kept Russia at bay through more than 3.5 years of war. But stepped-up Russian strikes against cities and relentless advances in battle are proving a challenge for exhausted Ukrainian civilians and soldiers alike. Scott Peterson reports from the Donetsk region and Bucha, Ukraine, for The Monitor. California Governor Gavin Newsom is making headlines this week promoting clean energy at COP, the United Nations climate gathering. But even California is reconsidering its oil reserves and policies as President Donald Trump doubles down on fossil fuels. Simon Motlake reports from Taft, California, for The Monitor. Across the United States, scholars are working to preserve the history of the black press before the brittle pages are lost forever. In a basement at Howard University, uncovered treasures have included Frederick Douglass's newspaper, The North Star. Ira Porter and Cameron Pugh report from Washington for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Iraqis are saying yes to an Arab democracy. Americans often forget one reason for the 2003 decision by then-President George W. Bush to oust a dictator in Iraq: to plant a model democracy in the Middle East to help fend off terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda after the 9/11 attacks of 2001. On Tuesday, about two decades after Iraqis regained a right to free and fair voting, the country held its seventh parliamentary election. Despite public gloom over a largely dysfunctional government, voters achieved a few heartening results. Nearly a third of candidates were women, more than twice the number in the 2021 election. Despite calls for an election boycott, turnout exceeded 55%, up from 41%. The campaign and the balloting were orderly, and a popular prime minister, Mohamed Shia al-Sudani, saw his bloc win the largest number of seats in parliament. The new Iraq, for better or worse, has become a model for democracy in the region, Michael Rubin, a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, wrote just before the election. One reason is that more young people have embraced an Iraqi and civic identity over their religion or ethnicity. Political power may still be divided up among Shiites, Sunnis, Kurds, and other groups under the constitution. Yet most Iraqis today came of age after the Saddam Hussein dictatorship. They seek inclusive, clean governance, reflected in the mass protests of 2019 and 2020. If political incumbency is synonymous with life tenure in most Arab states, it is not in Iraq, where Iraqis punish a person deemed ineffective and corrupt, stated Mr. Rubin. Iraq's strides in just one generation are notable because it still contends with pressure from Iran. Because of its relative stability, however, Baghdad has also become a balancing force among powers in the region. The larger picture is one of rising but bounded Iraqi agency, in which the state can sometimes resist and can sometimes broker, but sometimes has to concede to keep the regional equilibrium intact, wrote Yerevan Said, an Atlantic Council fellow. All of this is not to justify the invasion or the post-invasion mismanagement that led to a violent insurgency. Iraqis have seen some of the worst in Middle East violence. If they keep choosing peaceful, if flawed, democracy, it may be they know certain qualities, freedom, equality, accountability, and pluralism, can help ensure tranquility. The legislative elections are a peaceful means of change, and they are the sole guarantee against violence and chaos, wrote one Iraqi, Ahmed Akho Mazel, to his 57,000 followers on social media. The greater the popular participation is, the stronger and more stable the political system will be. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we open our hearts to a new song, a new view of ourselves as God's spiritual offspring, we find healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Morgan Anderson, Alyssa Britton, and Mackenzie Fergus.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.